Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Are you going to read your line?
Yes, hello and welcome to Shout Out and to LGBT Plus.
It's over there. She's Steph Barlett and I'm Andy Shilton.
How are you?
And come on today's show, my five.
It's back with a Brickstone look at the History Month.
Curly Project.
They will be live talking about this project around autism and gender dysphoria.
And Kiki.
The team round up the show with more LGBT Plus History Month information.
So join us for the next hour right here on Shout Out. Right, has anyone put some money in their meter?
yes, about a few 50p's.
My ears are bleeding. The headphones were just a tad loud.
Were they?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Steve. We're just getting used to our new setup.
It is, yeah. It's like, I've just like pre-queued everyone, and the minute we went live, it's a completely different volume level. I don't know why.
Oh, well.
So anyway, I can say it this week. Welcome to the new studio, officially.
Yes.
Opens today.
Sexy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, very nice.
As radio
really
studios
like
go.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, lots of work thanks to our tech team here at BCFM.
Indeed. So. Yes. And, it's nice to be back in here following the horrible thing that was the fire. That was not a nice experience, that, watching everything that we worked so hard on go up in smoke. But we're back, and we're in the nice studio again. So the other one's now being refurbed, which is cool.
There's a nice smell of carpet glue, isn't there?
Oh, in here?
Mm.
Yeah, well...
You reckon by 55 minutes time we'll be high as kites?
Oh, I don't know.
No, it's not that bad.
No, it's like it was the first time we ever built it.
I was going to say, it's had a week or so to sort of be aerated and let the fumes go. So.
I'm actually impressed that they haven't carpeted across the windows. That's good. Ooh.
No, we didn't carpet the windows. We did have a few little things. So we did have sort of an emergency blind in here on Saturday to try and keep the sunlight, because it was very bright in here
on
Saturday.
It's all in order, so.
Yeah.
But here we are describing it, because it's radio, so you can't really see it. But we'll take a photo and post it up, Facebook and Twitter and the like.
I thought we had magic mics.
Magic mics?
So the listeners could actually see us.
Oh, no, that's just...
I thought we were special.
Just what we told you.
Oh, right, okay.
It's you that's special, sorry.
I'd heard that.
I think that is genuinely the first time in the history of the show I've kicked off the opening jingle and I put the microphones up and nothing happened.
It didn't, because I was just expecting you to go, and I thought, okay, somebody's pulled his batteries.
Thought you pre-read the script.
Your triple A's were taken out, weren't they?
Yeah, well, we gave them to you in the hope that you'd actually read your line on
time.
Well,
they got me to Sheffield and back.
Yes, now talk to us about it. Where did you go? What happened?
We went to Sheffield for the BBC Gillard Awards, which is where the 39 or 40 local BBC stations go once a year to be awarded stuff.
Yeah, because Gillard, I forget what his first name is, but he's the guy that...
Yeah, Frank Gillard. He
set up, like,
local radio,
didn't he?
Yeah. He did, yeah. And so the awards are named after him. And he was a journalist in the war, and then went to the BBC.
Right.
And come up with the idea of local radio. We actually won bronze in diversity and community segment.
Which is amazing.
Of the award. It's absolutely fantastic.
Amazing. Yes. A big thank you to the BBC, and of course for BCFM, because it was the Pride broadcast, wasn't
it? Which obviously we facilitate as part of BCFM,
and it was
10 stations in all for Pride's 10th birthday.
Yes.
So that was quite special for us, I think, for the Shout Out to be on so many stations for Pride broadcast.
The Post thought it was a world record, but we don't know. You had to pay a lot of money to find out if that was true. So, a record we may well break this year, hopefully.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yep, so. You never know. Well, the BBC are interested again.
Good.
So hopefully...
Not just interested, I believe it's about confirmed, is it not?
It is, and they've offered us... They're throwing kit at us at the moment.
Marvellous.
So,
That explains your hair.
So, yes.
I was going to say, Steph, you've got a bit of a mic sat on top of... It's sort of sticky in your hair.
Yeah. It's a shame, that, isn't it?
Well, it's a bit of foam. I suppose it might be one of those foam rollers, but...
It is. I've got blue, and usually I'm a mic around. Usually I'm going to change me muff, if you don't mind. Because it's not matching my glasses.
Do it while we're in the next segment or something. Speaking of which, it's time to go catch up with Brigstow and the lovely Alid.
My five on shout out.
Hello and welcome to February's edition of the Brigstow My Five. After January having off, welcome to the first podcast of 2020. And for everybody everywhere, happy LGBTQ plus History Month. And there will be a plethora of events happening in and around the city of Bristol and any area that you are. So go find them, go and support them. So with LGBT History Month in mind, I thought I'd give you potentially not a history lesson as such with regards to HIV and AIDS, but just a little bit of background. Now, the history of HIV and AIDS, if you kind of really look into it, you know, it can be very depressing and it's not nice. You know, it decimated thousands upon thousands of members of our community back in the epidemic. So I'm not going to try and focus too much on the negative. Yes, we have to recognise that to kind of keep us rooted and to keep us driving forward for change. But I'm going to talk about one particular group, which I think most people as LGBTQIA plus people recognise, is that we are advocates and we always do kind of speak up for social change and to keep us as human beings present and relevant and reminding everybody that we're here. And one of the biggest activist organisations to help those with HIV and AIDS is called ACT UP. So ACT UP stands for the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power. And it's an international grassroots political group working to end AIDS and to end HIV. The group works to improve the lives of people living with HIV through direct action, medical research, treatment and advocacy, and working to change legislation and public policies. Like I said, ACT UP are international. There is a Bristol ACT UP, so go and find them. And if you are a activist and you want to join the cause, I'm sure they will be open to new people joining. They're on Twitter, they're on Facebook. ACT UP Bristol, hunt them out. Now, the first ACT UP was formed in March 1987 at the Lesbian and Gay Community Services Centre in New York. Larry Kramer was asked to speak as part of a rotating speaker series, and his well-attended speech focused on action to fight AIDS. Kramer, at that time, spoke out against the current state of the gay men's health crisis, which he perceived as politically impotent. Kramer had co-founded the Gay Men's Health Crisis, but had resigned from its board of directors in 1983. Kramer posted a question to the audience: do we want to start a new organisation devoted to political action? The answer was a resounding yes, and approximately 300 people met 2 days later to form ACT UP. Now, at the Second National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights in October of 87, ACT UP New York made their debut on the national stage as an active and visible presence in both the march, the main rally, and at the civil disobedience at the US Supreme Court building the following day. Inspired by this new approach to radical direct action, other participants in these events returned home to multiple cities and formed local ACT UP chapters in Boston, Chicago, LA, Rhode Island, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and other locations, first around the United States and eventually internationally. ACT UP are incredible, and they've done incredible things. Their famous tagline, silence equals death. They spoke up and they managed to get changed happen for a lot of people living with HIV and AIDS back in the late 80s and the 90s, and they continue to make change happen today. These were the group of people that got the ashes of their departed loved ones and spread them along the lawn of the White House to ensure that the right drugs were being commissioned and got FDA approval. One of the best films that kind of highlight ACT UP is 120 BPM. If you haven't seen it, I would go and see it. But this group really do show the power of a voice and activism and political activism when the climate is against your side, really, which I think is really relevant today. And I think it's really very relevant in this political climate where we stand at the moment when it comes to us as LGBTQIA people, really focusing at this point in time on the T as well. Yes, we've got a long way to go with the other letters of our rainbow family, but we really need to join forces and speak up for them and make sure that they are not left behind in any of the conversations and discussions that we're having. So that's just a little bit of background. You know, at Brigstow we have a campaigns group, and like I said, there is a Bristol ACT UP as well. So if you are passionate about change and you are passionate about equality for all, purely on the fact of one human to another, regardless of gender, race, sexuality and spectrum, then find those people and join forces. And the more people we have, the louder that we can be. Until next time, have a great LGBT plus history month, whatever you're doing, and remember to know our history so it's never erased. But until next time, I've been Alid. Thank you very much for listening. Follow us all on our social medias to see what we've coming up, to see what we've got coming up. And until then, have a lovely time, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's called Blinding Lights by The Weeknd. The Weeknd, I think it's pronounced.
The Weeknd.
It's spelt wrong. It's Weeknd.
Weeknd.
So, the Weeknd.
But that's Weeknd. Modern, you see. Isn't
yeah,
it?
I know.
Modern English.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, Flickr, isn't it?
Grindr. I don't know. I was just going to say Grindr.
Tinder.
Tinder. Growler.
The Weeknd.
Yeah. And Andrew.
What?
you can't miss letters out of our name. It just doesn't work.
I think
maybe we should.
Well, that was the other one, wasn't it? Yeah. I was talking about my friend at work, and one of her pet peeves was the fact that one of the guys that she was at uni with, when he would give out his Bristol uni address, he'd say whatever his name was at bristol.act.uk. So I was like, so that means that we're studio at shoutoutradio.lugabateur.
Yeah. I prefer Lugabateur.
So, unfortunately, there is not a Lugabateur domain name.
That reminds me that apparently some Australians visiting London asked when the next train to Lugabugaruga was. And people said, where the hell is Lugabugaruga? And eventually they worked out they meant Loughborough.
I prefer Lugabugaruga. Let's go.
It's a bit like hearing your American friends try and pronounce Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah.
It's Worcestershire sauces.
Yeah.
We'll get Scotch.
Anyway,
wrong, isn't it?
Birmingham.
Shall we get some news headlines?
Okay.
Let's.
Is Shout Out News for Thursday the 6th of February.
Euronews, a cable and satellite television station owned by the French broadcasting networks, says that police are investigating an apparent hate incident in the city of Norwich in Norfolk after a poster was distributed at a block of flats insisting that people speak the Queen's English. The strangely worded poster claimed that the majority, which it failed to define but which many suspect was a racist reference, implying the white majority, were now in control of the country after the withdrawal of the United Kingdom from the European Union. The offensive note went on to say that all minorities would now be expected to obey the will of this majority and could start by speaking English at all times and never using minority languages. As some intellectuals pointed out on social media when this poster went viral, English is not even the original language of the British Isles. Welsh, Cornish, Manx and Gaelic are all much older, and even they may not be native, with Stone Age peoples possibly speaking an extinct tongue closely related to what is now Basque. Euronews said that whilst there were many people who had voted for Brexit with legitimate reasons, there had also been a 57% spike in hate crimes against all minorities, within which intelligence officials had linked to the disclosure around withdrawal from the union.
Now, Big Narsty is to return to television this week. Mr. Narsty is a grime MC championing the newest form of rap music, which has been dominating the charts, or as I say, hit parade, with such artists as Stormzy, Skepta and H. His programme on Channel 4 has been such a hit that it is back for a new series. Past guests have included the comic Keith Lemon and the actor David Swimmer, along with other celebrities appealing to younger people. Now, the channel has reported high ratings, particularly amongst people from a black and minority ethnic background, and also a demographic of younger people who demand more diversity in their entertainment to reflect a modern Britain. The TV network has won back some viewers from YouTube and similar video platforms, which contemporary young audiences often use in preference over traditional television. Mr. Narsty is also relevant as he is a larger personality, and his fame has helped undercut the cult of the body that frequently dominates large-scale media. His popularity suggests that the radical LGBT and feminist notions about body size shame and how it's an issue on which to change attitudes is having an impact on popular culture. You can tune into his show at 11 on Friday nights on Channel 4, which is available on all platforms.
Are you tired of being called a snowflake? The war on words between the generations has seen Britain's reactionary newspapers using this term of dismissal against anyone who disagrees with them, whether it be vegans, LGBTQ people, and especially trans activists or environmental campaigners, socialists, and even disabled people. It seems as if this has replaced former fictional bugbears like Politically Correct in the 90s or the Communist Scare of the 50s. So rather than engage with sensible discussion with people like Greta Thunberg, the papers and their angry readers can dismiss her as a snowflake. Of course, the younger generation has given as good as it has gotten, coining the terms boomer and gammon to talk about the Daily Mail's readers and their ilk. Boomer references the baby boom generation after World War II, whilst gammon is allegedly a dual reference to meat eating among older people and also the red hue of angry Daily Mail readers' complexions. But is a continued war on words actually a reflection of what is happening in the country at large? Can you help me out there, Terry?
Jaminda Giannetti.
Writing in the Liberal Daily Paper, The Guardian warns that various Cassandra's warning of the irrevocable split in the country are mistaken. She says that people that are making the complaints about aspects of modern life, such as veganism or trans issues, are just a bunch of whiners, and went on to say, what passes for a culture war in Britain is little more than a succession of fleeting furies amplified by overpaid loudmouths and circulated via social media against a backdrop of Brexit, into which they are all conveniently merged. British politics outside Northern Ireland is freer of religious conservatism, with a broad social and political consensus in favour of gay equality that was once unthinkable. The legal right to abortion, while never secure, is not as fragile as across the Atlantic. Nobody wins votes in Britain by quoting the Bible or claiming the endorsement of God. The vast gulf between the US and the UK in these areas still exists.
Now, in the Scandinavian state of Finland, comes some good news. RTE Radio 1 in Ireland reports that Finland's new women-led centre-left government will be giving new fathers the same amount of paid time off work as new mothers, nearly doubling paternity leave to 7 months. Around half of this can be given to the other parent, regardless of their sexual orientation or their gender identity. The Minister of Health and Social Affairs is Eino Kezia Pekkanen, and she said that the aim of the radical reform was to both improve gender equality and to boost a declining birth rate. She also noted that this enables better equality, she said, between parents and more diversity in families. Ms. Pekkanen said that other Scandinavian countries, such as Sweden and Iceland, had seen increases in their birth rates after offering more leave for fathers. The move may anger some separatist feminists, but Finland's ruling coalition, consisting of five parties, all led by centre-left women, of whom four are under 35 years of age, took office back in December. And they have made they've made gender equality a priority, including improving the health and social welfare provision for boys and men.
Doctor Who podcast Night of the Living Geeks reports that last weekend's episode of the LGBTQ-friendly sci-fi show on BBC One in the UK and BBC America on United States cable packages saw a welcome return of the character of Captain Jack. I'm so sorry, everybody. Played by the gay actor John Barrowman. The episode Fugitive of the Judoon has been hailed as one of the most significant editions of the world's longest-running science fiction TV show to have been aired in recent years. John Barrowman's character, who is polysexual, has not been seen in the show for more than a decade. However, even more significant for long-term fans of the show, which has often explored politics, culture and gender identities, is the fact that another previously unknown incarnation of the title character, the Doctor, appeared. As with the current Doctor, this incarnation was female, leading to huge speculation amongst the fan community as to who this incarnation might be. A popular theory is that she upends previously established continuity and represents the very first form that the Doctor took before the incarnation played by William Hartnell when the programme started in 1963. For fans, the remainder of the current series being transmitted on Sunday nights on BBC One is hotly awaited.
And it'll never be exterminated. For these news stories and more, you can check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Hans Peregrine
and Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's a physical by, I think you pronounce it Dua Lipa. Dua Lipa. Would you say, I mean, you've got your script in front of me. Say it on the screen. Dua Lipa. Dua Lipa.
Yeah. Dua Leap.
So sounds like an Olympic sport.
D-U-A-L-I-P-A, basically. Dua Lipa, Dua, I think. Lipa. So I like it. It's another fun gig. It's in the charts at the moment. I thought I'd pick some newer ones for a change.
Yeah.
I know it's totally alien to you.
Yes.
Well, you like the last one? You like Blinding Lights?
My Wurlitzer are in the kitchen. Still has 45s in it. From the 50s.
As everyone listening goes, what is a 45?
Yeah,
it's a
exactly.
bit like Terry with his hit parade.
Nothing wrong with the hit parade, so. Andrew.
Anyway, Stephanie, I believe we're talking about curly hair.
Yes, we are. Lucy Smith is in the studio. Lucy, good
Hello.
Evening.
Hello, welcome
good
to
evening.
Shout Out.
And I don't have curly hair, I'm afraid.
You don't. I have to say that I really like the name for the name of the project.
Curly Hair Project.
Yeah, it's
yes.
really cool.
How did that come about?
Well, the organisation is founded by a lady called Alice Rowe. And Alice is the girl with the curly hair. So if you meet Alice or you see Alice online, she has big black curly hair. And when she was a little girl, she was always called the girl with the curly hair.
Oh,
and
nice.
So she called her project or her business. She started off calling it the girl with the curly hair. But because she realised that alienated quite a lot of people with boys, it's now the Curly Hair Project.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So give us an idea, what is the project about?
Okay, so the organisation is an organisation that supports autistic people and those people who are on the autistic spectrum and those people that work with them, live them, with them, love them, support them. And so we provide training events. We have a wonderful, amazing website, which Alice keeps updated with a blog all about the things that challenge autistic people. So that can be things like anxiety, sensory processing challenges, executive function, which is this magical thing that people talk about, but it's all the stuff that helps you get stuff done during a day. So organising, planning, motivating, and those kind of things.
Can you, because there'll be listeners who may well have heard of the term autism, mm-hmm. but don't really know what yeah. it is. Can you give us an idea of, you know, what...
So autism is a neurological condition. It's a lifelong condition. You're born with it. Some people may argue there are things that happen in life that may cause it, but I would say you're born with it. And it affects the way that you see the world and you process the world around you.
Right.
And so some of the common indicators are that you might have difficulty with social communication. So interacting with people and things like eye contact might not be very good with somebody who's autistic. And you have difficulty with social interaction sometimes. So starting conversations, understanding and interpreting what people may say may be difficult. And some of the things that people may say you take very literally. So if somebody said to you, pull your socks up, guess what you're going to do? Pull your socks up.
Oh, right.
And so taking language very literally, because you don't always understand the nuances, because our English language in any language is actually quite confusing. And some of the way that we talk and some of the things that we expect people to do, we don't always tell people what to do. We might go, know what I mean? You know, touch the nose and a wink of the eye. No, I don't know what you mean. And the world for somebody who's autistic in terms of social communication and social interaction can be very confusing.
Now, there's good reason why you got into this, Lucy, isn't
there? There is a good reason, yeah. Yes. So both of my children, I have two children, age 13 and 11, and both of them are autistic. And they weren't diagnosed until they were 11 year old. So both of them got diagnosed at 11. And when I was given that diagnosis, the first time I was given a leaflet about the girl with the curly hair. And so I went off and did research because I didn't know anything about autism. I say anything, I did, but I had my stereotypes and my biases that I thought about autism. And they have been blown out of the water completely because for a start, my eldest child, when they were diagnosed at 11, was female. And females they're not autistic, are they? My daughter has eye contact. My child can do this. My child, they were auditioning for the part of Matilda in the West End. They were an amazing actor. They were in TV adverts for Legoland and the galleries. And they'd done amazing things as a child. And I was completely blown away and surprised by the fact that they were autistic. The reason we had to seek a diagnosis and actually went down that route is because we were struggling with some significant mental health issues. And those mental health issues in an undiagnosed individual, so if somebody is autistic and they're not diagnosed, you will probably find that they'll be masking, so they're hiding and suppressing their autistic traits. So the things that they might need to do in order to regulate and in order to thrive or to feel comfortable in their life, they suppress them. So some of that might be repetitive behaviours or something like stimming, waving hands, rocking backwards and forwards. I'm doing it as I'm in the studio. You can't see me, but there we go. And you mask all that and it becomes terribly tiring and terribly exhausting. And actually, we were struggling. My child at the time was struggling with their mental health. And we had a crisis to a point that, and I will say, trigger here, that they attempted to take their own life at the age of 9.
Gosh.
That is really... really distressing for a family to have to go through. It's really distressing for the child. It's really distressing for everyone around them. Fortunately, 4 years on, we're in an amazing place where my child is really happy and is able
to... And is a lot of that to do with the fact that you got the diagnosis?
Part of it's to do with that, yes. But part of it is the other reason that I've come to talk tonight is that they're trans. And that 6 months, maybe more than 6 months ago now, they were able to come out and identify as transgender. And so whilst I talked about them in the past tense as female, they're now a boy. And so we talk now as a boy. And there is a big connection between transgender and gender identity and gender dysphoria and autism.
Right.
Yeah. So it's something, there isn't enough research about it, so we don't know enough about it at the moment. But those people who may be on the autistic spectrum, quite often you question your own identity. So you're quite self-aware. you think about what am I, who am I, you know, what is life all about, and you think differently. And so when you think differently, you sometimes question things like, am I the right gender? Am I non-binary? Am I gender fluid? Am I trans? Am I female? Am I male? And there is a fairly strong link between autism and gender dysphoria. And that's something that as an individual and as our family, we live with and we are part of. So I'm really passionate about telling people, A, about autism and raising awareness of what autism is. And you will have heard and seen people on television like Greta Thunberg, Chris Packham, Anne Hegarty from The Chase. They've come out and talked about being autistic. So there, if you remember the word Asperger's and you've heard the term Asperger's, that's autism. But nowadays, everything is diagnosed as autism. So it's no longer a separate diagnosis.
Right.
And my children are on that level of Asperger's. So actually, really smart kids, but really struggle with anxiety, sensory processing, and managing their daily life. So much so that sometimes emotions can overwhelm and you end up in a mental health crisis because you are trying to cope.
Is there a numerical scale then, or an alphabetical scale of autism where people can be segmented, or is it?
I think there is in terms of the classification, in terms of the psychiatric classification, because it comes from a big manual that clinicians will use. And there is a scale. I don't like to use it. And they use words, people use words like high functioning and low functioning.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like those words. And the reason I don't is that you can appear to be high functioning, and I'm using my inverted commas, but actually the work that goes behind ensuring that you can function in life is incredible. And you need a lot of support to be that high functioning person. So you can hold down a job. You can have a family. There are incredible people who have made brilliant lives and they're autistic, and many of them may not even know they're autistic, but may struggle, because many adults I meet in my courses, so I run lots of courses around the Southwest in Frome, in Corsham,
and this is with the Curly Hair Project.
I run lots of projects around lots of training, and I meet lots of adults, some of whom are questioning whether or not they're autistic. And they find out more and they go, yes, I am. And quite often their diagnosis comes because their child has had a diagnosis. And they then start to question, well, actually, is that what happened to me? And many people will have gone through their lives getting into their 40s, 50s, 60s and had misdiagnoses of things like bipolar, depression, OCD, eating disorders. And it isn't until that light bulb goes on and somebody actually says, maybe we should look in screen for autism here. Maybe we should look in and look at that. And the penny drops. And actually, for some people, it's an incredible relief to know who they really are.
Do you say there's a good case for neurodiversity then within companies to actually give people with autism on different scales more of a chance in life?
I think so. And I think actually, if you can create an inclusive workforce, an inclusive culture, it creates a culture that's suitable for everyone. And you don't have to do things that are radically different to support people who are on the autistic spectrum. Mm. It may be things like flexible working hours. It may be things like ensuring that you have quiet working areas. It could be things like additional training in the workplace. And I've just started an organization myself called Inclusive Change that is trying to harness the power of neurodiversity for the workplace.
Okay.
Well, listen, it's lovely to talk to you. It sounds like this is another one of those that classically happens on Shout Out, where we could talk for another 20 minutes about it, but we only have so much show.
Thank you.
I find it absolutely fascinating, because it's one of the things I know nothing about is autism, and it's quite interesting to hear the whole story. And I'm really pleased as well, the fact that, you know, things like the diagnosis and also trans has also made it so much better. If people are listening and any of this identifies with them and they want to find out more,
if you go to www.thegirlwiththecurlyhair.co.uk, you can find out all about our training, you can find out our gender dysphoria training, and you'll find out all about me there. So thegirlwiththecurlyhair.co.uk.
Brilliant. Cool. Listen, we will definitely have to get you back so we can talk about it a bit more.
Thank you.
At a later date. But for now, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We're back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. That's Lewis Capaldi and Before You Go. Lovely song there. Anyway, time to catch up with the people over at Kiki.
Hello, this is Peter from Kiki Bristol.
And Sharifa.
And today we're going to be doing a special for LGBT History Month because it's February.
Yay!
Excellent. So so Kiki have something quite special planned in collaboration with the Royal West of England Academy, the RWA. Sharifa, do you want to talk a little bit more about what we're doing?
Yeah, so I'm really, really excited. It's going to be a really, really special night for Bristol and for BAME LGBT people in Bristol. So we're going to be joined by Lady Phil, who is the co-founder of UK Black Pride.
Ooh, love Lady
so
Phil.
So excited. Yeah, she's a big supporter of Kiki. She came to our first Bristol Pride event at the City Hall,
yeah,
which is amazing, really well attended, and really great conversation. So she's a big supporter of Kiki, so looking forward to seeing her again. We also have Josh Rivers, who is the creator of Busy Being Black, which is a fantastic podcast talking about black queerness, basically.
Great. Even our one of the Kiki members, yes, has been on there.
Linda.
Yeah, Divalicious. So she had a episode on that.
She did, yeah.
Yeah, you should check it out.
So we have also Dr. Sean Sobers, who is an associate professor of Lens Media at the University of Wales, at UWE, basically. So yeah, really excited to hear him talk. And we have Dr. Miles, who is a fellow University of Bristol queer artist, who will be sharing the panel. So yeah, looking forward to hearing all these people talking, asking great discussions about blackness and queerness and all those good things.
There's also going to be a performance from Travis Alabanza. So I'm really excited about them coming to perform for us. I've seen their play Burgers.
Oh my God,
and
Burgers,
it absolutely blew me away.
Literally.
The power behind that was incredible. I was thinking about that performance for days, weeks afterwards.
It stayed with me for sure. Like people in the audience were crying. It was it just got you. Whether you were trans or black or white or however you identified, it got you.
It got to you on a human level,
didn't it?
So I don't think they're touring Burgers
at
the
not.
Moment. I think that's stopped. But if you do ever get a chance in the future, if they ever decide to do another tour, then I can't recommend it enough. I just want to go back to how this links into LGBT History Month with Lady Phil. I think she is like a living legend. I think she'll be down in the history books.
Oh, 100%,
people will be talking about her in years and years to come,
totally.
And looking back on the history that she's created with the BAME LGBT experience. She was one of the co-founders, if you don't know, she was one of the co-founders of Black Pride. It's just grown from strength to strength, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, if you've never been to Black Pride, get your ass there, because it's an experience that you've never had before. Like, to be in an LGBT space solely for BAME POC people, it's something that I'd not really experienced before until I went there. It was just incredible to have all POC LGBT artists performing.
Mm.
It was just like one huge family, like 10,000 people in the park, like your family. Like,
yeah,
it's just, you know, unbelievable. So if you can go, please go to UK Black Pride every year in London. I think Haggerston Park, where they hold it.
Yeah, it's changed location, hasn't it? So I think it's
Haggerston Park now.
I've never been myself, Sharifa. Like, every year I've just been busy. I haven't been able to go.
Yeah.
But one of the things that people have said to me is that it's got like the Pride vibe, but without all of the rampant commercialism.
Oh gosh, yeah.
So
it is
kind of scaled back to how Pride used to be.
Like essentially a protest.
Yeah, an act of resistance.
But also just like a bloody party.
Yeah.
Like genuinely, like everyone is just dancing the entire time you walk into the space. You can't imagine it. Like all of your family are there busting a move the entire time. Eating jerk chicken and bloody, what's the other African food?
Jollof rice.
Yeah. Literally, it's just like, it's so good. It's so, a literal party. And for me, like being a, you know, a big music fan, they were playing all my favourite songs the entire time I was there. There was no cheesy pop on there. It was just all like black inspired artists being played the entire time.
What do you think about kind of, if you're a white person listening to this and you think this sounds good, I want to go along to UK Black Pride, what would you say to that in that sense?
I have some white friends who went to the previous one. I mean, fortunately for them, they had...
Sharifa's got a cold, man. She was like, I came in here, she was dying. Sorry, take your time.
Yeah, sorry. So I would say, if you can, to go with black friends, go as an ally.
Yeah.
Kind of don't take up the space because it's not for you.
You're a guest.
You are a guest, but not to say you cannot go.
Yeah.
But if you do tend to go on your own, kind of be really mindful of the space that you're taking up.
Yeah.
And how you're acting in that space.
And it's not a zoo, man. You're not there just to look at these, like, you know, the black bodies.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not for your entertainment, but at the same time, you know, it is about unity.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, at the heart of it, it is a space for us.
Yeah.
So just be mindful of how you conduct yourself if you go to a predominantly black space.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, fair enough. I don't know what else is going on in Bristol for LGBT History Month. I need to speak to...
Oh, gosh, there's so many events. There's an amazing one being run by Off The Record next month that I'm being a part of as well.
Oh, yeah, you're on the panel, aren't you?
No. That's another one I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
That's for Bristol University. So me and Travis and some other folks are going to be on a panel for Bristol University talking about... queerness, blackness and queerness, actually. I think most of the panel are POC.
Nice.
But what to revert back to was the exhibition that we were talking about. So the exhibition at the RWA is called Africa. And if you haven't been, oh my gosh, it's so good. I mean, Peter, you went and saw the exhibition.
Yeah, it's
so
great.
So good.
Yeah.
So we highly recommend that.
Okay. Well, yeah, we wish everyone like a happy LGBT History Month. There's loads of stuff going on around Bristol. Check it out.
Bye.
Bye.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
What a Man Gotta Do, Jonas Brothers. No, I'm not asking you, Steph. That was not a question.
I say that's quite a good track. I love that.
Yeah. I do like a bit of Joe Bro.
Yeah. Oh, life's so simple with you, isn't it, Han?
Yeah.
I was going to say, inappropriate sort of acronyms or shortenings makes me think of the recent story this week about the Bussy Bear.
Bussy Bear?
Yes. Apparently, one of the bus companies has launched this bear character to promote its bus service and calling it a Bussy Bear.
Now,
apparently, this is now new slang for something else. Part of the,
is it something you can repeat on air?
Well, it's referred to as a part of the male body by younger gay men, which I was not aware of. And this came up on Facebook this morning, and it's like, okay, completely to the terminology that I've never heard. But apparently, it comes from the idea of something being part of the anatomy. And used between younger gay men who are quite camp, which I'd never heard, but apparently it's causing... There's a big article in Gay Times about it.
Talking of anatomy, Mr. Barrowman.
Mr. Barrowman, yes. Silver Fox, isn't he?
Yes, coming back.
Doctor Who,
yeah. But Captain Jack is coming back as a series.
What, Torchwood, you mean?
Yes.
I don't think there's any confirmation. No. Been rumoured
a
great deal.
I'd be very surprised if Torchwood came back.
I don't think
it
is.
They killed it off on purpose, didn't they? It was really annoying.
I thought it was coming back.
Not to my knowledge. No, I think
maybe they'll be doing.
I think we'll see more of Captain Jack.
A spin-off.
Doctor Who, yeah.
Absolutely. Captain Jack spin-off.
I remember William Hartnell, though. That was the. I was there for the first episode.
Yes, back in...
I was 1960, I was 10 years old, yeah. And do you know...
just giving your age away there.
Yeah, do you know that the...
She's ancient.
The first time they showed it with William Hartnell, they had to repeat it the following Saturday because they had problems with the broadcast, so they had to show the first and second episode together the following Saturday.
I think I've read that, and also it was the day after Kennedy's assassination.
Yeah.
Doctor Who was first broadcast.
Oh. Yeah.
The day after. In fact, transmission of the first episode was delayed, not by much, only by a minute or so, but the BBC News was running before
and the TARDIS was made of balsa wood, so they had to go really careful. William Hartnell could not slam the door of the TARDIS.
He was the man, wasn't he? We once asked Martin Spilacy what would William Hartnell have thought of the fact that Doctor Who would still be going all these years later, and he would have said stuff and nonsense, but secretly he'd be absolutely
he'd have been shooketh.
But he'd been thrilled to bits. Don't know what he made of a female doctor, of course, but that, you know, I think she's doing a fantastic job. Personally,
I like her character.
Me too.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I think she's absolutely brilliant.
Jodie Whittaker, fab actress.
Anyway, that's it for this week's show. Catch it again and others by checking us out online, grabbing a podcast from shoutoutradio.lgbt.
This week's news presenters were Hans Peregrin and Terry Starr. Your presenters were myself, Steph Arnett, and Andy Shilton.
Steph gets a double mention because she produced the show too. Join us again next week when we carry on our coverage of LGBT plus History Month. But for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye,
everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.